Good morning. You know, we all have places where we live throughout this world, and we all have something in common, no matter where we are living. We all have worries. We all have our share of troubles. So what does this season offer for the troubles of earth? Let's stand and read from Luke chapter 2. Mary's baby just having been born in Bethlehem. We come to this text in Luke 2 verse 8. Hear the word of the Lord. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." The Word of God, may He open our eyes, our hearts, and change our lives this season. Please be seated. Well, it will soon be here. December 25. Any kids here who know what that day is? Any kids at heart? Yeah, we're looking forward to that. But do you know what day January 6th is? Orthodox Christmas, not what I was looking for. But suspected that could be given. I'm glad somebody's aware of that. UPS tells us January 6th, at least last year and the year before, was National Returns Day. 1 million packages were returned in a single day after Christmas. And 5 million packages were returned the first week in January. And according to the research from Optoro, a company that helps retailers process these retail returns, shoppers return nearly $70 billion worth of purchases during the holiday season. Shirts, too small. Sweater, too baggy. Game, "Dad, I already have that." Gadgets? "Mom, it's broken." Gifts galore. And things we don't want. And that I don't need. Why they ever gave it to me, I don't know. But I will smile and pretend it's okay. That's why you got to love the first Christmas. It's just the right size. It's exactly the right fit. It is perfect. The perfect present that fits you and all your needs. all of your worries. And so when January 6th comes, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I won't be returning that gift. 24/7, 365, I'm wearing it. And I trust many of you are. And as God brings us this wonderful gift from above, you think about how it's wrapped, the packaging all around this gift. It's wrapped so beautifully. We see the lowly shepherds, the myriad of angels, the majestic light show lighting up the dark night sky. We see the magi from the east, led by a mysterious star that we talk about virtually year after year, figuring it out. And of course, the manger and the so which is the feeding trough for the animals. And of course, God Himself now in human form, lying in a manger. And then shortly thereafter, King Herod himself, like the modern Grinch, attempting to steal away the precious gift that God is giving. So what does this season offer the troubles of earth? In a word, it offers us God's cradle of peace. God's cradle of peace. A peaceful, quiet place where a precious baby lay, and a peaceful, quiet place where we can rest our troubled hearts and worried heads right next to the Christ child. You know, lots of people, they attend yoga. How many do yoga or have done it? Yeah, we got quite a few. You go to a meditation room. You maybe have done that. You get a massage in an attempt to gain some peace, but nothing will quite get the peace that we can get when we rediscover the child lying in the manger. The season when your heart's troubled, know down deep that we've been given something, you've been given something heavenly, something angelic, something glorious. You and I have been given something wonderful from heaven. It's good news. It's a message of incredible joy. It's a reason to set aside your worries this season and each day thereafter. This season disappears. It's a great message. It's an open invitation for anyone to come and rest your or their worried head. The fourth candle of Advent this year in this community is the candle of peace. That's what it represents. The Lord has come to bring us peace, and the Lord will come again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So would you repeat those individual sentences after me? The Lord has come to bring us peace.
The Lord has come to bring us peace.
And the Lord will come again.
The Lord will come again.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if you look at the bottom of this section, in this what we're looking at here in Luke 2, verse 8 and following, you'll notice right at the end of the section, the angels declaring three words there, and on earth, peace. Can you say those words? On earth, peace. Again, on earth, peace. That's the message of these angels here at the end of the text. And wherever you live, whatever your issues are, whatever you're going through, these angelic beings have a message for us here on earth. Peace. Now, if you ask theologians about this concept of peace, they'll immediately go right into the subject of brokenness, because that's what peace is all about, to put back together the pieces. It's the idea of wholeness, and there's a brokenness, and you could look at it from a theological point of view, and you could say we're broken in three different directions. You know, we're broken upward, we're broken outward, and we're broken inward. You're broken in your relationship with God. We're broken in our relationship with other people and the world around us. And we're broken within ourselves. And so, we need peace. And of course, the fundamental element to that is getting peace with God on the vertical, upwardly. I trust you've discovered that and are rediscovering it each day. And then, of course, that helps us in these horizontal, these other relationships with people around us, and can give us peace of mind as well as we struggle within to come up to our own ideals and deal with all the personal issues we have, perhaps about self-esteem or self-confidence or whatever we need to do to think better about ourselves, or at least realistically and optimistically, as God would for those who have discovered the horizontal or the vertical peace. And so, as we think about brokenness, Emily Brown writes from her perspective regarding brokenness, things that break. I am the owner of plenty of broken things. My shoe sole has a tear. My right eye tooth is chipped. The window in our sunroom has that crack, diverging in two distinct lines. The computers broke down. The printer won't work. And all those broken habits, working out, eating right, going to bed at 12, using words to say sorry and love you. Mr. S., the father of my friend, the one who told the corny jokes and took us bowling into Olive Garden when we were 8 and 12 and 15, he's breaking down in the mind and motor skills. My friend, she takes care of him. She can't fix the broken, but she sits with him on long blue days and holds his hand that shakes, the one that filled her bike's tire with air. She loves when the words come through wrong. She looks and doesn't see him quite the same, but keeps loving him. In the mess of things that stop, won't work right, he is the broken thing that matters. Broken things, especially broken people, matter. They matter to God. That's why I'm glad we've lit the fourth candle. Because God's in the business of fixing what is broken. It may not be fixed in our time schedule or in how we might go about it. Sometimes we're just scratching our heads, praying that somehow that would get fixed upwardly or outwardly or inwardly. So we turn to this story. Remember what the angels tell us that they have, that God has for us here on earth. Peace. And how do we see the passage, or how do I see the passage from the top down to the bottom? Well, if you open it, look at that top part, which we'll go through quickly. We see that It's peace for the ordinary. So, ordinary shepherds, ordinary people. It's amazing that God picks them out of the crowd of world of people, and He comes to these lowly shepherds who are doing their working the night shift, getting their jobs done, and He has something wonderful to tell them. That's the cool thing about Christmas. God has a wonderful message for the average guy, the average girl, the common worker. It's so encouraging because most of us think of ourselves as just average, ordinary people. And we also notice that it's peace for everyone. Maybe you're above average, or maybe you're even below average, or whatever. He says, as appearing to the shepherds, an angel tells them that he has great joy for all the people. For all the people. And so it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you did when you were younger and more foolish. Or maybe what you did yesterday. It doesn't make any difference how guilty you feel. How guilty you are. Whether you're troubled, whether you're young, old, male, female. No matter what your troubles or concern or what country you're from. This present is coming down for you. And for us who would believe in this season of gifts. You know, if you've been watching the news lately, terrible what's happened in Aleppo, Syria. Heart-wrenching, heart-wrenching. You know, seeing these tiny children with so much potential just being, and women brutally murdered. You know, it's really beyond understanding. We feel helpless, and many of these are Christians, Syrian Christians. And here we are, we're thinking about Christmas gifts among the atrocities. But I suspect it's okay, because the little gifts can remind us of the greater gift. And we don't see how God can help in such terrible situations. But somehow, in some way, in this season, there is an air of optimism that somehow God is alive and well and putting the pieces together, bringing peace to anyone and everyone, American, Syrian, African, every person, every country, who would discover this child described here, born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 9:6, you know it. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. A rescuer is coming. As you go down through this message of the angel, a rescuer is coming. Peace is initiated from above in a Savior. A Savior has been born to you. The long-awaited Messiah is finally coming. That's the message that the ordinary shepherds were hearing. That's the message we've been repeating for the last 2,000 years. They shall call Him Jesus, which means He saves. God saves. That's what He's come to do. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Anointed. And He is the Lord. Don't miss that as you go down through from the top to the bottom. God is coming. The Lord is coming to do what you cannot do for yourself. That's why it's got to be the Lord. The Savior has to be God Himself in human flesh to do what you cannot do for yourselves, to rid your troubles, to fix your brokenness. Emmanuel, which means, say it, God with us. You know the familiar words in the 150-year-old nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, right? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Which essentially tells us that we live in a broken world. We're fractured. And even the people in the highest places, like a king, riding on these horses of war, trying to fix the issue, they can't do it. And that's why we got to love this gift, this season that God is bringing us that has never been brought before and never needs to be brought again except to come and apply the full benefits of the present when He returns. Notice that God, as we look at this packaging around this gift, that we see also not only these shepherds and the angels, but we see this glorious light. And I take it there because so we don't miss the message. The reassuring light. And lo, in verse 8, as the shepherds were out in their fields watching over their flock at night, an angel appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And I like the old translation. And they were terrified. They were terrified. It's a glorious light, so glorious that they're shocked with its brightness. And of course, you have God's angel's verbal reassurance in the message as we go from the top to the bottom to remember the first story of Christmas, or the story of the first Christmas. He says, "Don't be afraid," right? "I bring you good news of great joy." And I take it the lights there as a, if you can't, symbolic. You can actually read, it's so appropriate because it's showing us our eyes are going to be open to something wonderful. That God's going to be lighting the way to heaven. He's going to be lighting the way to get all the brokenness back together again. And then suddenly, God quadruples the reassurance. It's actually more than quadruples it. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel, what? A multitude, don't miss it, a multitude of heavenly hosts. It's from the multitude that those words came, on earth, peace. And to me, as I think about this, it's incredibly reassuring that God doesn't want you or me to miss this glorious message in such a powerful, chorusing way. We need to know we got it right. Not just hearing one angel, but myriads of angels. And you remember Tony Orlando and Don, don't you? Some of you who are a little older. Some of you play the oldies. So the guy's been in prison, right? And he's getting out. He's written his sweetheart a letter. And he's wondering whether she still loves him. So he says, "I'm getting on the bus, and all you have to do is just tie a ribbon around this tree. And if I see it, I'll know you love me." And that's how the story goes. "It's been 3 long years. Do you still love me?" So he's wondering and waiting, longing to see how she feels about him. And as the song says, "If I don't see a ribbon around the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us, put the blame on me. If I don't see a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, bus driver, would you please look for me?" He can't even get the courage to look. "Because I couldn't bear to see what I might see. I'm really still in prison, and my love, she holds the key. A simple yellow ribbon is what I need to set me free. And I wrote and told her, please, whoa, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. It's been 3 years, long years. Do you still want me? If I don't see a ribbon around the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us." Again, put the blame on me. And then it says, "Now the whole darn bus is cheering." I had to edit that part. "The whole darn bus is cheering. And I can't believe I see 100 yellow ribbons around the old oak tree. I'm coming home. That's the end of the song. But it's the beginning of something wonderful, isn't it? You see these angels? It's 100 yellow ribbons saying, hey, you know, you want to know I love you? Don't miss it. Because we're here shouting it, all of us. On earth, peace. On earth, peace. I'm here to fix your brokenness. I've come to give you the gift that you need. I don't want you to miss it. Because I'm shouting it loud. Make no mistake. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. And then it says, among those with whom he is pleased. Which is virtually how all the modern translations are translated in effect. Upon those whom God's favor rests. The old King James, I believe it is, says, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. You know, you want to know who God has goodwill toward this season? You want to know whom God is pleased with this season? Those of you who are pleased with his gift. Those of you who are trusting in the Christ child. Because he is the cure for this world's brokenness. And when that child got a little older, you know, he said some things like, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He also said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Cast all your cares upon him this season, for he cares for you. Merry Christmas. Father, we bow before you. Help us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything with our prayers, requests, with thanksgiving, help us to make those requests known to you. We'd ask that the peace of God, your peace, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And may, as you reassure us with peace in Christ, may it be evident in our behavior, our demeanor, and may our lights of our lives, our words, may it help others to find how their brokenness can also be healed by grace through faith in the precious gift of the Christ child. In whose name we pray, amen.